We begin our informal review of the year in screen reading with a general overview of the major stories of the year past.
The purpose of this is to summarise and outline the major developments in the screen reading industry over the last 12 months. And there have been some exciting developments, haven't there?
Yeah.
We've seen the release of Jaws 5.0, yeah. Window Eyes 4.5, and I believe now Dolphin are up to Supernova and
HAL 5.3,
that's right. All of them boasting new features, and each product claiming that if you purchase their products, you will be at the cutting edge of assistive technology development. And, well, how much truth is there in that, do we think?
Very little. I think we've all got the strengths and the weaknesses. One of the big breakthroughs, of course, for screen readers over the last year has been access to remote computing, whether that be through Citrix or whether that be through Windows.
And GW Micro seem to have led the way there. They released their terminal support ahead of Dolphin and Freedom Scientific.
That's right. And in fairness to GW, it seems to me from reading what... I mean, Dolphin have just literally, over the last 2 weeks, released their terminal support, but they seem to have only half done it in my book, because you can only access it with a hardware synthesizer, and it doesn't provide support for magnification in their product Supernova.
But this is an important development, as you mentioned. This is probably the biggest story of the year, really. This remote access to a thin client, the terminal support, seems to my mind to be the big story now of the year.
Especially for companies who, job creation, where maybe some companies now are having more applications stored on one central server, and they don't want workers to have access to whole hard drives full of applications, etc. It's easier to manage a network if you've just got one server and you just connect terminals, dummy terminals to it. It's probably the way forward for a lot of companies now, and I think that the fact that access has actually been relatively quick, I think, to this kind of technology, as has access to operating systems such as Windows Server 2003, which has just been released this year. I mean, screen readers were virtually on top of that when it came out, which is nice to see. It's nice to see screen reading companies give access to new operating systems, and indeed Office 2003, as quick as they are doing now. I think people are really moving forward, and we're getting faster access to new applications.
That's something that's been spoken about quite a lot on Main Menu. The time at which the mainstream product is released, and the period of time which elapses from that release to the point at which we as vision impaired users get access to that product with our assistive technology, and that's something that we're seeing dramatically reduced, and hopefully with the next incarnation of Windows Longhorn, I believe is the
code name.
Hopefully, when Longhorn is released, we will have access on the day that it is released.
It would be nice to think so. And also, I think...
And not just rudimentary access, full and comprehensive access.
Yeah, I mean, with XP, I think XP came out in October 2001, and I think the first company to give access to XP, even though it was in beta form, was GW Micro, and that was in the December. So that was a two-month lead, which compared to, I mean, when Windows 95 came out, you were looking at a year, weren't you, before you had access to it with certain screen reader vendors.
At least.
It would be nice to mention a feature that I think has been kind of overlooked, because PDF accessibility has been around for a while, but the ability now to, with Window Eyes and Jaws, to read certain secure PDF files that are encrypted, it's certainly impacted on my studies for university anyway. It's made life a lot easier. The range of PDFs that I've had access to, it's just improved since the Acrobat version 6 came out over the summer. It's made my life much easier. I don't think we should forget that, really. PDF, it may be one of these things that as a blind person I think, oh god, I hate it, but I've got to realise that it's an industry standard and it's here to stay, and it's a secure way for people to send documents to each other.
Adobe seem to have been quite cooperative in working with the assistive technology industry in making
this
PDF
happen.
Access possible.
Yeah, I think this is it was a GW first, and I think they should be proud of the pioneering work that they put in with Adobe. And I think that the table supporting PDF is very handy, especially with statistical documents. And Dolphin also has with their HAL and Supernova products PDF support, but I don't believe they have the secure PDF access.
To continue our informal review of the year in screen reading, we look at the screen readers one by one, starting with Jaws.
Well, of course, we saw the announcement for the Jaws 5.0 release in the summer at Site Village.
And a very impressive demonstration, it has to be said, by Eric Damery
of Freedom Scientific. And the demonstration at Site Village was the unveiling of Jaws 5.0, and subsequent to that, in September, I believe it was, Jaws 5 was released. And let's work through some of the key features in Jaws 5 and discuss how relevant we think those are. One of the things that really captured a lot of people's imagination was this new custom dictionary where one can
assign sounds or different voices to different events on screen or different kinds of text. I think this is potentially very important. I think once people get used to the idea of, say, having a different voice for bolder text or even a sound when a certain event occurs on screen, I think for blind people it's an important signifier, or could be an important signifier once the tools are used properly. I think that's one of the highlights. Got to be one of the highlights for me of this year.
With a feature like that, we're seeing the emphasis going more towards using the voice of the synthesizer to indicate various text attributes, rather than just being told italics, bold, whatever the change of font may be. And that really would be the legitimate purpose of a feature like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, and it has the potential to speed up people's productivity.
Okay, other Jaws 5 features. Automatic position of virtual cursor to flashing cursor.
I think that's already happening in things like Windows and Supernova, isn't it? When you go onto a website and if you're positioning an edit box or some kind of form field, the focus already goes there. And I think that's anything groundbreaking. I think it's something that the rest do anyway. I could be wrong.
Another Jaws 5 feature, which seems to have inspired the competition, is this automatic language switching in HTML. Personally, I find it quite irritating when I go onto a UK website and the UK version of Eloquence kicks in rather than the American version of Eloquence, which, to be honest, I think most people in the UK prefer. I don't think that there have ever really been any serious attempts at a UK speech synthesizer.
I can see why people who use multi-language...
I think that's a feature that's probably going to be used more in academia. I would imagine that the average user is going to find something like language switching.
Or possibly in countries such as Canada, where people maybe have websites in two languages.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, continuing with the Jaws 5 features, definable place markers in the virtual cursor mode. Do you think we're going to see that as a industry standard feature in the future? Or?
I'd like to think it could be.
The idea being that within the body of a web page, you can set a place marker, a bookmark, if you will, that remembers your position on that particular page, and you can set up a
hotkey to return to it.
Yes, that's right. I understand that with scripting, one can, this really takes on a whole new level to navigating, almost in the same way that the quick keys for navigating the web. So if there is a newspaper website that you visit on a regular basis, and you know that the story always starts at a given position on the page, and providing the page hasn't been altered too radically since your last visit, it'll be interesting to see how useful that feature actually turns out to be in practicality.
Another useful feature that I think has been added to Internet, for both Window Eyes and Jaws over the last year or so, is the ability to suspend a page, suspend the buffer or MSAA mode from refreshing. I find that very handy, and especially with some screen readers that tell you how long it will be until the next refresh. It's interfering with what the web page would generally do, but I do find that the idea that you can stop these refreshes is very useful at times, especially when you've got pages maybe with sports results that refresh every 20 or 30 seconds, or financial information that keeps popping up.
Right, which is what you want ultimately. You know, the screen reader, to some extent, you want it to be almost transparent. You want to be able to get on and do your work and perform your daily tasks without the screen reader impeding your progress.
And when it can help in a productive way, and one that doesn't, I don't know that I'd want my screen reader to take over my applications, but saying that, with Internet Explorer, we use a separate interface to the rest of the world into IE with these various MSAA or virtual modes. So to say that I didn't like the idea of application interfaces being changed slightly would be a very hypocritical thing, so I think.
Okay, so continuing with Jaws 5, one of the features that I think is going to be useful when using larger tables is this ability to jump to a particular cell on a table based on coordinates, so you can specify the row and column numbers that you can jump to. This, to me, seems to be something fairly elementary, and you sort of sit there and you think, well, why haven't we had this previously? Another HTML feature we're seeing in JAWS 5 as well is the ability to identify what percentage of the distance you are through a web page. Is that something that you think is of genuine practical use to
people? I think it's possibly of practical use to people, but there's a feature like that in Windows. If you hit the speak summary key, it will tell you how many lines down you are. It doesn't give you a percentage, but it'll say line X of, so you might get line 16 of 326.
Something both GW Micro and Freedom Scientific seem to have rolled out in their products this year is this business to access these on-click links that are kind of almost pseudo-links. They act and behave and feel and taste like links, but
yeah, I mean,
in the past they've not been easily identifiable.
To me that is a big deal, because there have been websites where online purchasing websites that I haven't been able to use very easily in the past because of the inaccessibility of these particular links.
They certainly seem to be very popular, don't they?
Yeah, and especially maybe it's because I've now got access to them, but I seem to see these on-clicks all over the place.
We've already touched on the new speech and sounds manager in JAWS 5, and that seems almost experimental to me, that it's something that people are, it's going to have a takeoff in a massive way. We've now covered the major new features in JAWS 5, and if we've left any out, then we do apologise. This is only a
cursory glance,
a positive summary, really, of the major features over the last 12 months. So let's move now to GW Micro and WindowEyes. We're now up to WindowEyes version 4.5 Service Pack 1. Yeah, announced just a few weeks ago. What direction are GW Micro taking with WindowEyes at the moment? You're a long-time user of WindowEyes. We've seen GW Micro inspired by a lot of the new JAWS features, but GW Micro led the way when it came to the remote server access, it seems, but the other two were very quick to catch up.
I don't think Freedom have anything out there at the moment with support for remote server, so I think the only people that have Citrix support in people's
it in JAWS in JAWS 5.
The big thing that GW have focused on for the release of 4.5 was the web support.
Have GW Micro, this is a criticism that is often levelled at WindowEyes, and some would say justifiably, have GW Micro beefed up their web support at the expense of support for Office applications?
Yeah, I think it's a justifiable criticism to make about GW. They really should have sorted out the Office problem earlier on, maybe 2 years ago, you know.
Let's get down to the specifics. Which areas are we talking about? I mean,
we're talking about table access in Office. We're talking about more reliable identification of headers and footers in documents. We're talking about, basically, use of the document object model, which is a bit like MSAA mode in to an extent where, rather than the screen reader reading the screen, it's reading some underlying code within Office that tells it.
It's interacting with the application with the document on a more fundamental level. Do we think that GW Micro are on this? Do we see this as an imminent development? Because people need this for their jobs.
Well, it's been publicly said that it's work in progress, that the GW Micro have got it on their radar, and that they're addressing it. But that's all we're really told, isn't it? In public, that's all that's been said.
So let's talk about the web support, because this is really what 4.5 of WindowEyes was all about. We've seen the hotkeys, obviously inspired by the competition. What else are we seeing in the web support from 4.5?
So there's a lot of new table features for navigating and looking at merge cells in tables. There's a hotkey to bring up the properties of a web element, whether it's a link or whether it's a graphic. We've mentioned the on-click support for these previously inaccessible links. We're seeing a fantastic array of verbosity options, so that for example, when your page loads, you might want to hear the number of frames, tables, headings, paragraphs, whatever. You can just decide what you want rather than having it foisted upon you.
So instantly you're getting a snapshot of the page, essentially.
That's right, yeah.
And you've been given this summary.
That's correct. And we now have the ability to move around lists, or to the beginning and the end of different elements. So you press the left bracket key and then the element that you're on, and it will take you to the start. So, for example, if you're on a table and you're in the middle of it, you press left bracket and then T and it will take you to the start. Or also, if you're going through a tediously long table, you press right bracket and T again and you've moved to the end of it. That aids in navigation.
And also this business about now you can check and uncheck check boxes and radio buttons without having to switch out of MSAA mode.
That's step forward, really, and then Windows is smart enough so that if the page changes, it will refresh the page, because sometimes activating one of these controls can cause an event to happen and the page to change slightly. So it's nice to know that that's all available now, and it does make filling out forms quicker, although we still haven't got to the stage yet where we don't require a forms mode at all. It would be nice if a screen reader one day could be smart enough to know that you're in an edit box, so you want to type in there.
That could be interesting, having to redefine one's quick navigation keys.
It could.
Right, moving away from the web, what are the other major enhancements we're seeing in 4.5 of WindowEyes?
There's now quite a few synthesizers shipped with WindowEyes, as well as the Eloquence and the Microsoft Speech, which have traditionally been there for the past few releases. You now have RealSpeak, ScanSoft RealSpeak, which is a highly human-sounding voice. It's not my cup of tea, but some people do like it, and on today's faster machines, it does work quite snappily, I'm told. And we also have the inclusion of DeckTalk, which is quite... Well, you're a DeckTalk user, Dave, so...
I was delighted with the bundling of DeckTalk with WindowEyes 4.5.
Yeah, even though it's locked to WindowEyes, I think many people know DeckTalk. For many people, DeckTalk is the traditional voice of a computer. Now I think people are more attuned to Eloquence and a Vi voice and its various incarnations. But at the time, DeckTalk was an important synthesizer.
And just as an aside, Jonathan Mosen has said on this program previously, and I would be inclined to agree with him, that DeckTalk isn't what it was.
No, I do find that even with the version that they're shipping with WindowEyes, it's better than the newest release, because the version that's been shipped with WindowEyes isn't the newest release out there. But the words do tend to run into each other. If you heard a DeckTalk Express synthesizer from the early 90s, you'd find the quality of speech possibly, it's all subjective of course, but better. Just the intonation of words or the way that words run into each other can be a bit annoying with DeckTalk Axis 32, I find.
So we're seeing the bundling of more synthesizers. Do you think this... What do you think the logic behind this is? Do you think people are dissatisfied with Eloquence and they want more choice? Or
I'm not sure. I think it's partly an easy way for them to add a new feature. Obviously, it costs them to bundle the feature in with it. But aside from being able to say, we supply more synthesizers than you, I'm not sure.
Of course, it's in the interests of the synthesizer manufacturers that they push their product to as many users as possible.
And it's nice for sort of new computer users to have a number of choices as well. I'm not trying to, have a go at them for including these synthesizers, because obviously it does cost some money. And
yeah, okay. In addition to the bundling of extra synthesizers, is that it for Windows 4.5?
No, it's probably a feature that people won't often see, but it's the error reporting feature, whereby if you have a crash next time you reboot your computer and Windows has caused the crash, the error reporting tool pops up and asks if you want to send the report to GW Micro. It's similar to the one that you get if Windows crashes, and you get asked if you want to send a report of the crash to Microsoft. And I've certainly noticed, whether it's because of this feature, but WindowEyes is becoming far more rock solid than it once was.
To use the hyperbole.
Especially
there.
Under XP. I very rarely get a crash with WindowEyes now under XP.
I understand that GW Micro take privacy very seriously. Do we feel comfortable with this error reporting feature?
I feel comfortable in using it. Apparently no serial numbers or user information is sent. You have a little box where you can tell them your email address or various events leading up to the crash. And I think if it helps to make the product more stable, then we should all be sending error reports, and if we get them, because at the end of the day, what we want are screen readers that don't crash as much, and we want more uptime with our computers. It's not acceptable to have to reboot every 3 or 4 hours. It wouldn't be for a sighted person, so why should it be for us? Just one more quick one for 4.5 that I've enjoyed using is the excellent Messenger 6 support. It's just nice to be able to hear the messages as they come in and be able to respond in a timely fashion rather than grovelling about the screen with your mouse. Or
so there are some issues with JAWS and
Messenger 6. Well, yeah. They're with Supernova as well at the moment, I think.
We've discussed WindowEyes 4.5, which was released this summer, and JAWS version 5, which was also released this year. And we've seen two releases from Dolphin, who make the HAL and Supernova range of products, and Luna, of course. HAL, just to remind people, being Dolphin's screen reader, Supernova being a combined screen reader magnifier, and Luna being the magnifier. We'll be focusing on HAL. I think 12 months ago we were using 5.11 of HAL, and recently 5.3 has been released, and the big thing here seems to be verbosity, doesn't it? That really now Dolphin are offering a mind-boggling
array.
Uniquely
powerful verbosity support. It's not the most intuitive to use, perhaps, but you can make the screen reader tell you exactly what you want to hear when you want to hear it, which is the marketing hype for other screen readers. But with HAL, it's certainly true. It's amazing the amount of flexibility in customising prompts or customising the way buttons are spoken. Or
it's almost one extreme to the other. Isn't it? Dolphin, when they get the bit between the teeth.
Yeah, well, the verbosity support now in HAL's, the amount of changes you can make are vast, and I think they do lead the way. It's maybe not the most intuitive, but it's very, very good. And there are preset levels. Because the other interesting new features, I think Dolphin now supports Flash, which the other two screen readers do. And we've got slightly better web access now with HAL. I mean, it improved in version 5 compared to version 4. It would have had to.
Well, Dolphin with latecomers to the whole kind of virtual environment, weren't they, in the sense that you get into onto a web page and you are around a web page in the same way that you would use a word processor. Dolphin took a very purist line about this prior to version 5, but now they've really started to settle into this and have made progress. Mm. We're seeing new links lists, and they've basically redefined the Dolphin Links Navigator now to be
an integral part of the screen reader. And it's an interesting approach to taking.
List of tables,
yeah, you get tables. I think, but if you're a map creator, of course, you could get lists of any element you wanted, and they've extended that technology into other applications where you could get a list of buttons, or so it's not just for the internet, the technology that they've developed, it's where you can get lists of any kind of elements in any application. Obviously you have to write a map, which is Dolphin's equivalent to a script or a set file. The web approach they've taken is kind of interesting, because you don't press enter on links, for example, you press insert, which completely goes against
or space.
It's just an interesting approach to take, and one that's different to the other two, and that's no bad thing. But it'll be interesting to see if they have to do a U-turn on that and implement more standard methods of navigation, because after all, enter is a standard key to press a link, activate a link.
And no clipboard support, of course, for the web.
Not yet.
You can't select text, but essentially using the shift and your arrow keys with the...
That's right, because shift and arrow keys are a movement commands in Supernova or HAL. I find myself gravitating towards Windows for the web, it has to be said, but have some work to do on the web support still.
Let's just remain focused on Supernova and the new features that we've
table
seen
support
from Dolphin
on the web. Within Dolphin now we have table support, so we can move around tables by row and column, which is a new feature in HAL.
So we've seen progress with Dolphin's web support. We're not seeing features in Supernova like the quick navigation keys that we've got in JAWS and WindowEyes.
Not as yet. I don't know what the plans are for them.
A feature which is probably an industry first is the ability for Dolphin products to be updated using the internet.
That's right, and even though you can download patches for WindowEyes or JAWS or even new versions from the web,
built into the Dolphin control panel, the ability to directly download and install small updates and map files.
That's right, very handy it is too.
And that's the first?
I believe so. I believe it is. Yep. Although WindowEyes have a feature which will send you to a web page to see if there's an upgrade available for your particular copy, but it's still not as intuitive or nice to use as a Dolphin updater.
Okay. And any other major new features in the Dolphin range of products?
Major new features? Well, thin client support for Citrix and Microsoft Terminal Services. And also...
And this is available in
5.3. It's just been released.
And so it's very new, not really had a chance to explore this yet.
That's
in,
right.
In any detail.
And also, I think, for some magnification users, I know we meant to be focusing on speech, but the ability to magnify certain Java applications, which once again could, I suppose, create jobs or save people their existing jobs.
We've summarised the major features that have been added to three leading screen readers over the last 12 months. With the advent of remote access, and now that DCM has bedded down, do you think we're in a stronger position going into 2004?
I do. I believe that who knows what Freedom Scientific will do next. It should be interesting and exciting, because they lead on so many fronts. The only company to me that doesn't seem to innovate as much as the others is unfortunately Dolphin. Yeah, definitely pioneers Freedom Scientific in some areas, but I think that WindEyes were the first to give access to PDFs, the first to give remote access. Flash access as well, Macromedia Flash. So there's three areas which GW have been firsts in, and maybe that these maybe headline-grabbing kind of features have distracted away from the core ability of the screen reader in a way.
So if we were giving out gongs now, I think while we're seeing exciting developments from GW Micro and Dolphin, it seems to me that in many areas that JAWS still leads the way. Certainly seem to be the innovators. They obviously have the resources, being the largest of the three companies.
We can only hope that WindEyes get their office support in order. In all fairness, Freedom are pioneers, it's got to be said, and where they lead, others follow.
It's an exciting time. It's all change, as always, in the screen reader industry, and MainMenu hopes to continue offering coverage and comment about the developments in the next 12 months. Martin Roberts has been my guest today, and I thank you very much for coming in, sir.
No problem.